interesting. One is very powerfully magnetic, and one is limited in its magnetism. Results are cancer. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes. Yes.
Can you talk much about selfish versus concerning myself instead of self? But that's actually one of the tricks that I find, because in the moment, it's very difficult for me to say which is selfish and which is me. Those two seem synonymous to me.
Right. And as a mother, I'm sure it gets more complicated.
And being able, really, one that's tricky is knowing that it's not just being selfish, that it really is the bigger picture that
here's occurring. Here's the key, as I understand it, and the key is the word impersonal, which is a really great word. It's not really that common in the West, but it's a really great word if you can get it. There's probably a better word in Sanskrit, but I don't know what it is. And you wouldn't either, so what would you? Impersonal is hard enough, and that's English, okay. But impersonal is being able to see yourself as if it wasn't you. In this sense, but just see yourself as if it wasn't you. Here's an example that I'll give you. There was a group of people, and there was one particular woman who defined selflessness as always saying yes. And she wasn't realistic, and so she would often agree to do things that she was later unable to do because they weren't realistic. Okay, but she thought it would be selfish to say, "I need a vacation. I can't do six shifts in a row. I can't also teach those classes if I'm making lunch," you know, things, whatever the situation was. And it, as a result, she actually drew a lot more energy to herself because she was always blocking, you know, her promises were always creating chaos instead of facilitating everybody's life. Whereas a truly impersonal attitude would have been to say, "You know, this is how much I can do, this is how much you can do, this is how much you can do." Everybody just puts on the table their true reality, and we sort of look at it and we decide what the priority is in this. You know, and you see, well, that person is really more debilitated than me, so I'm going to stretch a little bit to take care of them. And then that person, however, really has more energy than me, so I'm going to let them take care of me. Because then everybody's needs will be impersonally considered, and the best will happen for all of us. To be selfless is not to sacrifice yourself. It's merely to see yourself in proper proportion to everything else that's going on. And if you don't, you actually torque the system. Instead of it going better, it goes worse, because it's subtly out of balance. The magnetism of it, magnetism is such a fabulous word. The magnetism of it goes off because you're not really being objective. A person is being compulsive or afraid or anxious or a thousand things. But if you're truly objective, the magnetism is very good. If you're truly impersonal. But sometimes the ego just so wants to be generous that it wants to be generous more than it actually can be, and it ends up torquing the magnetism, or even more than it's appropriate for you always to take advantage of me, whether it's your children or your friends or your company, doesn't create good magnetism for you either. It messes up your magnetism to imagine that I am always going to sacrifice myself for you, and that all your little tiny needs are more important than any of mine. That creates wrong magnetism. Right? You see? And so that's very impersonal. You just look at it very objectively. This is what's happening. And you get so that you begin to be able to really trust yourself. And you begin to know that if I don't feel like doing it, there's probably a good reason. It's not merely that I'm a terrible person and I should be more generous. It can often be that it's just not there to happen. It's not right. The magnetism of it isn't right. You know, certain requests that people put on other people, the magnetism is not right. And if you're impersonal, you'll sense it. And practice. You just practice looking at it. If this wasn't me and I was looking at it from the outside, how would this actually balance? And then it takes a certain kind of courage to go into that and stand up for yourself. You know, to be selfless is not to be a doormat. You know, or not to have, it's just to do what's right. Is what to do dharma, to do the right action. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the part that is when there's a want, or if you have the blue light and sunlight, and to be able to see that that's not selfish for me, but, you know, where the difference is...
If it, just because you enjoy it doesn't mean that it's wrong. I mean, Swami said to him very simply, he said, really, God doesn't want you to be unhappy. That's your imposition on the situation. Right? That's old Catholicism and old, you know, vengeful God. The more you, it's the old, the crucifixion is the definition of spirituality. The more you suffer, the more you must be spiritual. No, it doesn't mean the more you have pleasure, the more you're spiritual either, but it's just somewhere in the middle. The more you do the right thing, the better things are. But just because you want it, could be very good for you. To satisfy, Swami made a very interesting statement once. He said, we learn a certain amount from having our desires frustrated, but we actually learn more from having them fulfilled.
But we need to keep not attached.
But nonetheless, if you want something and constantly don't get it, but still want it, you always imagine that a certain kind of happiness will come to you if you could only get it. But if your desires are fulfilled, you get to experience exactly how much happiness were there, and then you can transcend it. Now, yes, you have to learn from having those desires fulfilled. Having your desires fulfilled does not in and of itself make you wise. But what he was trying to balance is merely constantly denying yourself will not necessarily make you wise either. Now, transcending a desire is different. Transcending a desire is recognizing that it's not really going to give me what I want, and then you don't want it anymore. But merely to suppress it when you actually really do want it doesn't necessarily expand your consciousness at all. And often, the things that we want are exactly what we should have because they're going to take us to our next step. I really did need a more harmonious and beautiful environment because my own consciousness needed to accept that as part of what God had in mind for me. Because my own spirituality was too much, I'm poor, and everything is crummy, that must mean I'm spiritual. It's a little bit limited, you know? So I had to accept the fact that, look, outward circumstances do not define your consciousness. I had to be able to see, it doesn't make any difference. You can be anywhere, it's all the same. Not everyone has to learn that. Some people need to let go of a lot of things. I had to move into it. Right. Not because I ever thought they would make me happy, but because I had a different twist in my head. Everybody has a different twist. So I could feel, because of my years of discipline, when that desire came, that it was a righteous desire. And how do you tell the difference? By making a whole lot of mistakes, which is a gigantic number, and then you get the pattern. But if you don't have the courage to make the mistakes, you just freeze. That's why he said you don't learn just from being frustrated. You have to have the courage to also have fulfillment, and then you'll begin to find out. Then you can also ask your friends. I hope until people ask your mother. Your mother usually knows. Any other questions or comments or thoughts? Well, I think that we've covered enough of these chapters for tonight, so see you next week, and we'll do whatever I wrote down, whatever it is. Let me just say it. It's chapter 4 and 5. You are part of a greater reality, and you are part of an intelligent reality. There's some really fun stuff in there. Okay.